You are listening to the Sunday morning sermon series from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas. We're a family that is devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thank you for listening.
I don't know about you, but growing up, I always wanted to be like somebody else. I always had this dream of being like someone who I saw on TV. Or maybe it was a famous sports hero. Or it was a movie star. Or it was a famous thinker. But I bet if you think about it just a minute, there was probably somebody in your life, or have been multiple people in your life, who you have said, if I can only be like them. And as I was thinking about that this week in this text that we're about to read, I came across Oscar Wilde and a quote from him. And he says this. He says, and you probably heard this quote, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness." And as I thought about that and as I read that, I began to realize that I have done this multiple times in my life. I've wanted to be like someone else. And when I think about what that entails for us to be like someone else, it entails a lot of our being. I didn't know that's what he looked like. but it entails a lot of our being. If we want to be like someone, we may have to change the way that we do things. We may have to change the way that we talk, the language that we use. We may change the way we dress, what we wear, in order to be like that person. We may even change the classes that we take, the books that we read, so that we can become like that person. And we do all of this to become something other than ourselves. We attempt to reimagine. We attempt to re-image ourselves so that when people see us, they may not see us, but they see someone else. And I don't know about you, but that takes a lot out to do. It can be tiresome to try to be someone else. And I think in this passage that we're about to read in Ephesians, and over the last few weeks, we have been in the book of Ephesians in this series called Rooted. I think we see Paul coming towards the end of the book, and he is beginning to reimagine what this body of believers would look like. And so if you have a Bible, follow along with me in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Paul opens up this section of the text with, therefore, for this reason, he basically says. Well, what is this reason, Paul? What are we coming out of? What is it that we're being pulled away from? And if we read, we begin to see that Paul says we are coming out of something here and being brought into something else. And we see this in chapter 4, when we read in chapter 4, verse 17, and he references this idea and says, "You must no longer live as Gentiles live." Or in another version says, "You must no longer walk as Gentiles walk." All of us, those in Ephesus and us today, are being pulled out of what Paul would say, a way in which you have been living. And what Paul says, and I like it even better when we get into chapter 5, is in chapter 5, verse 14, Paul says, we have actually been awakened to something inside of us. In chapter 5, starting in verse 14, Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake. rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Many people believe that as Paul is referencing a baptismal chant that was said to the early believers who were initiated into this new community of God. And that what Paul is saying here is that something is awoken inside of us in this very moment. Something has basically Paul is saying, rise and shine, you sleeper. You are now being pulled out of something in which you were in to something in which you are that's new. It is an awakening inside of our spirit. And Paul says, this awakening inside of your spirit is what God is doing in your life. And so as Paul has been working through the book of Ephesians, as he's been working through this letter, and as he says, when you're rooted in Christ, then boundaries begin to fall, then a new calling begins to emerge. Paul gets to this point and says, then also a new identity begins to grow. The identity in which you once had as Gentiles, you no longer have. And so Paul looks at the congregation in Ephesus, and he looks at the congregation in Grapevine and says, wake up. Something has been awakened inside of you. Something that will make you look different than what you're trying to look now. And Paul goes on to say, you no longer live in the way of Gentiles. You don't have to be something that you're not. Running the race of trying to be better than the person next to you. Running the race of trying to change your identity so that others won't know who you really are. What Paul is saying is, you don't have to do that anymore, because what has been awoken in you is that in which you were created from in the very beginning. Genesis 1 tells us what? We are created in the image of God. And Paul says, that is what is awakening inside of you. But this is still difficult for us. It's difficult for the church. How many times in church do we still hear ourselves saying, do we still hear others saying, if only we were like this church, then we could do this, 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 and this. If only we did it this way, then maybe we would be a little bit better. Even as churches, even with the name we put on the front of the building, Christ on the building, we still run the race the world tells us of trying to become something that we're not. Try to become something other than what you are. And we continually do this. We continually talk about it with one another. Well, the church down the road does this. So what if we think about doing it this way? And I think what Paul is saying to us is, when you begin to live into this identity that is Christ, when you find your roots in Christ, then you won't need to worry about being something other than what you are. Because when you're rooted in Christ, what will be produced is Christ. Well, what will be produced is the very image in which you were created out of. You will become fully yourself. He looks at the church and says, the church will become fully itself. And so the church, rooted in Christ, finds itself in love. Look at what he says in verse 1 of chapter 5, or I'm sorry, verse 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love. Everything that God has been doing in our lives and the life of the church until this point has been to reform us into love. Live in love is what Paul says. Love is what we look like, and love is what we sound like. Our identity and our mission flows out of this love. Our identity and our mission flows out of this reformed nature. And it all begins with, for Paul, love. And so the questions become, how can we love deeper? How can we love our enemy? Love the stranger? Love the neighbor? Love the person sitting next to us? And love our community in the way that God is calling us to love? Love becomes the passion and the identity of the church when Paul says, be imitators of God and live in love. That becomes the very image of the church. Love is who we are. Love is the type of love that will die for the sake of the person sitting next to you and will die for the sake of the world, as we see in John 3:16. Love will be the type of love that can break any boundary and go past any wall that's there, as we see in Romans 8, beginning in verse 37 and going to the end in verse 39. It is this identity in which the church lives out of. We don't have to become something other than what we are, because the church was created out of love to be love to the world. We're reminded of this in John 17, verse 18, when as Jesus is saying a prayer, he says this about the church: as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. To be what? I think Paul would say, to be love to the world. It is love in which shapes us. It is love in which informs what we do and what we say. Therefore, the church finds its creative potential not in being like someone else or being like the church down the road. The church finds its creative potential and its creative capacity when it starts with love. The church becomes the visible Christ to the community when it loves first. The church becomes the embodied Christ when it loves first. And the church becomes the light to the nations when it starts with love. From everything we do, love is what motivates us and propels us into it. And I think what Paul is saying here is, up until this point, this has been kind of building. Things have been happening. Your roots are getting deeper in Christ. And Paul gets to a point and says, therefore, now that you hear this, be imitators of God, beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us. And Paul says, you don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to change your language or change the way you look or change the way you talk, because the language you received from the very beginning is love. And so if our mission and our identity comes out of this, then we need to ask a whole new set of questions. We need to be looking at the community completely differently than how we look at the community. Because we rest in and are transformed by and are defined and find our mission in this very love of Jesus. So that the question we ask is this: what does it look like for God's love to be visible, tangible, and witnessed to the community at Grapevine? What does it look like for the Grapevine Church of Christ to be the visible, tangible, witnessed love to our neighbors and our friends in Grapevine? That's what it starts with. That's what it begins with. Because from the very outset, Paul has said, this is our mission, is to be the visible love of God to the world. For the world to understand love, it will be seen through the church. So when we talk about being imitators of God, we talk about being that which we were created from. It is who we are. It is our language. And it has been awoken inside all of us through the very life of Jesus. And Paul says, being rooted in Christ allows this to emerge. So today I say, rise up, awake you who are sleeping, and live in the light of Christ. Love in the ways that you've never loved before. Listen in the ways you've never listened before. Because it is in this love that I believe Paul says can break down the boundaries in which we talked about. It is in this love that Paul says will give us the calling that we need to go forward. We don't need to be like anybody we're not. Grapevine only needs to be like the love of God to our neighbors today. And so that's my challenge. Who are you trying to be like? Who are you trying to imitate? Who is Grapevine trying to be like? And maybe we should reassess and re-ask the question. Say, what does it look like for Grapevine Church of Christ to be the love of God to our neighbors here in Grapevine? Wonder what that would look like. Wonder what that would have us see and talk about. But my friends, this is the very language in which we were created out of. We were created out of love. And Paul says, it is what has been awoken in us. Allow it to awake, emerge, arise, and be like to your neighbors, to your friends, to your enemies, and to the stranger. But live in love. Sounds easy, but it's really hard too, because we so fight the urge of trying to be like something we're not.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to our sermon podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts for special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, you can go to www.grapevinechurch.com.